I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Vin Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Christine McShane.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
Chico Now.
Call 894-7325. I'll take your questions live on the air. 894-7325.
Welcome. This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now, and today is your Monday episode. On Mondays, we talk about psychotherapy-related topics, such as marriage, parenting, boundaries, etc. And today, I actually brought my colleague, Sarah Sanders, here with me. We are both marriage and family therapist registered interns. My intern number is IMF 69783. We both work at Chico Creek Counseling and under the clinical supervision of Joe Taylor. Sarah, would you mind giving everyone your intern info?
Sure. IMF 72631.
Perfect. And you might hear some little ones in the background. And that is because this radio station is family friendly, and they really love kids and they love us and let us bring our little ones to work with us. So you will hear Sarah's little dude in the background. Mine is still kind of coming out of his nap time and sleepy, but you never know, and he might start talking in the background also. Just tune it out. Don't pay attention to it. They're on our laps eating graham crackers and having a great time. And this will be a memory that they have someday in their lives, that when they used to go with moms to the radio station. So we are here today. We want to talk about attachment and specifically how attachment happens, why it's important, and what that means regarding your marriage and the conflict that might happen in your marriage. So, Sarah, why don't you go ahead and get us started? When is attachment formed in the human? Speaking of our babies, right?
Yeah. So attachment's really important for life. It forms in the first year, actually. So, John Bowlby used to do a test when children, babies were a year old, to see what attachment they had to their caregivers. So the primary caregiver would be in a room with their child, and they'd be playing, and the caregiver would leave. And what they were looking for was not the response of the baby when the caregiver left, but when the caregiver came back in. So when the caregiver returned, did the child stop crying and go to the parent for comfort, or did they keep playing with their toys or look for somebody else? So attachment's really important for children, but then attachment is also really important for our spouses or our mates or our partners, the significant other that we have. So just like the same type of thing, when we're distraught or upset, do we go to our significant other for support or comfort? Or do we think that they're not really there for us, and so we turn to other people or other things? So if we have a secure attachment to our significant other, then the question really is that person there for me? Will they be there when I need them? And so a secure attachment is formed between partners by having a consistent, loving relationship, good communication, you know, doing things that, that respects the other person and treats them well. And so when we're bothered by something or having a hard day, then, you know, we're going to go to our significant other for support.
So the type of attachment that you got when you were a little one, when you knew mom or dad or grandma, whoever was the primary caregiver, they will return. They care about me when I'm in distress. I am important. I am safe. I am secure. And I belong. And that creates that healthy sense of attachment. Oh, goodness. Can you believe it, guys? It's already time for our commercial. Okay. So I want you, while we're on our break, I want you to think about what kind of attachment do you think you had with your parents growing up? Was it secure? You knew they were there? You knew that they'd come back in? Did they ignore you a lot? Did they, or when you were distressed, would it upset them and you'd get in trouble for being upset? Okay, think about that. And when we come back, we'll talk more about how that's relative in your marriage.
Scott Allred.
I'm Ben Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Christine McShane.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
Chico Now. Chico Now.
Call 894-7325. I'll take your questions live on the air. 894-7325.
Welcome, welcome. This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now, and every Monday we are subcategorized as helping people. We are on 104.5 FM and 9:30 AM. We were just talking about attachments, and before we went to commercial break, I asked you to think about how do you think you might have learned to attach based on the relationship you had with your parents or caregivers when you were a child? So when you were in distress, whether you're scared or upset or sad, and what did you know? Did you know that mom or dad or grandma or whomever will come and rescue me? I'm safe. There's nothing that's going to hurt me. Or was it, if I start crying, I'm going to get yelled at, I'm going to get in trouble, and so now I'm anxious because I'm crying and I know I'm going to get in trouble for crying? Or was it more like, nobody cares, I'm hurting and I'm sad and no one cares right now? What was your experience? Because that's kind of the groundwork of what that was like for you. So now that you're an adult and you're in a love relationship, this next love relationship that you're in, that's the biggest, deepest, most vulnerable state that you've been in since you were a child in a home. And so all of those wounds that might have happened when you felt that you were not safe to be scared or safe to be angry or safe to be in distress, if that was the case for you, those get re-triggered and reignited now that you're in a love relationship. So you're in a love relationship and you're upset or you're hurt, you're sad, you're disappointed, whatever that is. And you have a certain expectation from your partner, how they will react, how you want them to react, how you expect them to react, and then the way you react to their reaction. It gets pretty long and convoluted, right? And so that's what we're talking about and thinking about. how is it that I learned to attach, and how is that affecting my relationship now? So Sarah was talking about a secure attachment. Sarah, can you tell us a little bit about anxious and avoidant and ambivalent?
Yeah, so
all of those, just sum them all up.
Yeah, so if you don't have a secure attachment, then there's three attachments that are formed when you don't have what Jessica was saying of a loving, caring, supportive childhood. And so then you can have the same kind of attachment with your significant other. So,
Even your children.
Or your children, that's mm-hmm. true. Yeah, just, anybody in general. But you see it come to play pretty big with your significant other, because we have those, you know, relationships, right there for us, you know, each day to have them be there to support us or not. So an anxious attachment is you care about the person, you want to be close to them, but they make you nervous. You're not sure how they're going to respond or, you know, if they're going to be there for you or not. So that's anxious. Ambivalent attachment is that you've been burned in the past. And so, you kind of know already that they're not going to be there for you. So you're just not, feeling very confident in their ability to be there for you. And then there's the avoidant attachment, where you go to them, your significant other, for support, but you're not, you're again not sure if they're going to be there for you. So you might have something that's stressful and makes you anxious, and so you go to your partner, but your partner responds negatively and doesn't respond well. And so then that increases your insecurity and anxiety. And then you give up on trying to have them, you know, be there for you. And so you end up avoiding having that connection. So you can see how having a healthy attachment, where we were saying before the break, is your partner there for you? Are you there for me when I need you? And that is a, and if they are there for you, then that would be a healthy attachment. And so you can see how that's very different than the three, avoidant, dismissive, or ambivalent attachments that aren't healthy.
And so when we think about that, how does that contribute to the tumult that's in your relationship right now? So maybe the person had a negative response to your distress, but because they had that negative response, that triggered something in you. And the way that you responded to their negative response, it made you pull away from them and say, that was it. They confirmed it. They don't love me. That was confirmed. And really, the negative response was because they were distracted, or they were frustrated with something else going on, or what have you. It doesn't even have anything to do with their value for you, but that's how you interpret it.
I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Vin Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Christine McShane.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
Chico Now. Chico Now.
Call 894-7325. I'll take your questions live on the air. 894-7325.
Said all I want from you is to see you tomorrow. And every tomorrow.
All right, guys. So we have 6 minutes left, but Sarah came with her little dude today, and he is 14 months old. He is not real excited to be on the radio with mom, so they are going to say goodbye, but they will be on tomorrow's show. So, and then we'll continue talking about attachment. So if you want to find Sarah, you can go to her website, sarahsandersma.com, or go to our company website, ChicoCreekCounseling.com. Well, thanks for coming on, Sarah. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And little dude has been so good. And you're a good mom to not make him keep singing.
Yes, it's nap time.
All right. Have a good day.
Thank you.
All right, guys. So the next thing I want to talk about regarding attachments is We've already talked about how did you learn to attach when you were younger? And if some of you said, I had a great relationship. My parents were always there for me. They had boundaries. They were loving. I knew that that the world was not going to end. I knew that I was important. I had a great time. But I still have a ton of conflict in my relationship. Then I want you to take a moment to also think about, what was your spouse's attachment? What did they go through as a child? Because you're not an island. You know, your relationship has two people and all the reciprocity and synergy that two people brings to the relationship. So I want you to kind of talk to your significant other and ask them. And you might think you already know. You might think, oh, I already know what's going on with them. I already know their childhood. But really dig in deeper. Really dig in and say, what was it like for you when you were little and you got sent to daycare and you were scared? What was it like for you when you were 7 or 8 or 9 and you were learning how to become autonomous and you were learning how to be your own person? And when your parents, when you were crying, you know, what happened? Did they sit you down and explain these are the consequences, or were they just like, stop your crying or I'll give you something to cry about? You know, what was that like for you? And when you start seeing a theme, oh, well, I was always rejected. My feelings were never important. Oh, I got yelled at all the time. Those are some things that give you insight into why they react the way they react when you're dismissive or when you are upset about something. And that just kind of starts the empathy. So then you can start talking about, what is it that I do that triggers that? Because I've noticed that every time you come to me with something and I respond in a way that I think is normal and I think is healthy and I feel like other people would think is normal and healthy, you get even more upset. And I don't want that for us, and I don't want that for you. Because I didn't marry you in order to continue to trigger the pain. I didn't marry you and have children with you or go on this life adventure with you in order to keep hurting you when you're already hurting. That's not my intention. But I'm feeling really frustrated because it's an enigma. I don't know what to do anymore. And it feels like everything I do just triggers you. So that's the point where they get to just be heard and you hear them. And as much as like you might be frustrated, irritated, you already know all the answers. You've already heard this 1,000 times. Let them say it again. Hear them, really be there. And then ask them, what do I do that makes you feel that way? Oh, well, whenever you tell me it's not that big of a deal and then you change the subject. Well, and in your head, you're thinking, but it's just not that big of a deal. And I heard them, but that's not what they needed. They needed you to look them in the eye and say, wow, that sounds like it was really hard for you. Or, wow, I wouldn't have thought that when my boss said that, I wouldn't have taken it that way. I would have taken it this other way. But since you did take it that way, you must have felt really disappointed. And or even leave that first part out. Say, you must have taken it. You must have felt really disappointed. And then when they felt validated with feeling disappointed, you can say, well, have you ever thought about it? They might have meant it this way or that way. Because that's how I would have heard it if I would have heard it. And then because they felt validated and they felt heard and they felt known, now they're more willing to hear the other point of view that you might have had, the way you might have taken it. And it doesn't have to necessarily turn into this argument where, once again, they were in a state of distress and somebody just didn't even care. Somebody just did not even care. And you might think, well, it's just a small thing. They're always making a mountain out of a molehill. But it's not to them, because remember when Sarah said earlier, it starts during your first year. That's the first year. So the stories that they've told you are from the ages that they were when they could remember. But this is some, you know, mom's having them cry it out for longer than necessary or whatever in that first year, that they don't even remember that stuff. That's buried really deep. But having compassion and understanding, that helps rebuild the attachment. They used to think attachment was static, but it's not. It's fluid. All right. This is Jessica Wilkerson. Thank you for listening.